WHUR FM and HD1 Washington. Now giving you a special daily drop. Here's Harold Fisher.
Good evening. This is a special in the community edition of the Daily Drum for Monday, October 3rd. I'm Harold Fisher. We're live from the Largo Student Center at Prince George's Community College. This is a collaboration with United Way National Capital Area, and this is the 8th annual Project Community Connect. Now, this event is focusing on providing critical services to those who are at risk of or experiencing homelessness, and all day long, this has been a one-stop shop for employment, medical, rental assistance, support for returning citizens, and so much more. Now, if you weren't able to make it out to today's event, don't worry about that. There are two more events coming this month. There's one in the district and also one in Northern Virginia. We're going to talk about that a little bit later on in the program. Now, we aren't taking any phone calls tonight, but we invite you to listen to the program. And, of course, this information will be posted on our website on WHUR.com after 8:30, as always. Now, joining me to talk about the services and the impact of these important issues are Rosie Allen Herring, President and CEO of United Way National Capital Area, Kim Dell, Career Consultant for Employ Prince George's County. She's a veteran for the Veterans Career Connection Program, and also Carla Wiley. She is a reentry coordinator for the Welcome Home Reentry Program of the Archdiocese of Washington. Thank you all so much for joining the conversation. I appreciate you coming out today.
Thank you for having us.
So, Rosie, let me, of course, start with you. A lot of services are here tonight, just all kinds of organizations, people who have their hands out to help. But what is the population that these services are targeting?
Sure. Well, thank you so much, Harold, to all of you and your WHUR listeners. We really appreciate the partnership. Project Community Connect is really an opportunity for us to bring a plethora of resources to the table, and it does range from everything from medical screenings to, of course, business services to even getting your IDs and things of that nature in order to be able to access services. It's really a one-stop shop for all of our neighbors who may find themselves in a little bit of need or even a lot of need, and with partners that we work with 365 days a year.
Now, you've done this before, and we've been to several of the events that you've had. Talk to me about this acronym, ALICE, A-L-I-C-E, for the population that is being considered.
Sure. Well, this is our 8th annual Project Community Connect, and it continues to evolve. And of course, even while we were in the height of the pandemic, we were able to do it in a, remote fashion, if you will, to still ensure that we were able to meet the needs. The ALICE population is really an acronym that stands for Asset Limited, Income Constrained, but Employed. So many of our friends and neighbors and family members who may be going to work every day, but simply can't make those ends meet and need a little bit of help in order to be able to access those resources. So ALICE is that acronym.
Kim, your organization helps to employ all kinds of people, but you're focusing specifically on the veterans population. Talk to me about the challenges that those who have served this country are facing, whether it's employment or any other issue that you are focusing on?
Sure. So my population is veterans, military spouses, National Guard, reservists, and they have some special barriers because when you've been in the military, you come out and you don't necessarily speak the same language anymore.
And you need to be able to translate your skills into civilian language. So that's for the service members who are separating or for the veterans. Their family members now are moving every 2 to 3 years, and they have to reestablish a career every 2 to 3 years. So they have barriers to employment. So my particular program, the Veterans Career Connection, is just one of 15 programs at Employ Prince George's. My population, I help them to look at those transferable skills, to find a career that is portable if they're a military family member, get them the training that they need to have that career, the certifications they need to do that job or that that particular line of work anywhere they go.
Is that difficult for veterans who are coming out of, say, active service, for example? I think the general population is probably thinking, okay, you've served this country and you already have all of these wonderful skills. Why is it so difficult to find employment?
Well, there's not a lot of jobs for a shower tech in the civilian world,
okay. Or
for a gunner's mate, but they do have transferable skills. So that's part of what I do. We look at the specific tasks that they did in those jobs that don't translate, because you don't have a gunner's mate in the civilian world. But we look at the jobs that they did and the collateral duties that they had, because nobody in the military just has one job.
Right.
You always have multiple jobs, many collateral duties. We look at that big picture, and we show them how to reflect that on the resume. And then we connect them with jobs that have the same tasks but are civilian jobs, so that we give them guidance on what job titles they should be looking for with that set of skills that they want to continue using.
Mm-hmm. I'll talk to you a little bit more about some of the challenges that veterans are facing and some of the work that you're doing. But I do want to go to Carla. Now, Carla, you work with returning citizens. Talk to me about the challenges that are facing that population.
Absolutely. I am with the Welcome Home Reentry Program of Catholic Charities, which is under the Archdiocese of Washington. And second chances. People, even though they've done their time, they're trying to get back into society to show that they have changed, they've rehabilitated, they are ready to get on with their lives, they're ready to move and grow with their families. And unfortunately, work and reentry and housing are a big part of that, and you need assistance.
Is it a little bit easier now for returning citizens? Because as I'm sure you know, there's been so much discussion over the past 5 years, 10 years, of bringing them back into the broader community. So everyone's aware, employers are aware, you have housing managers and the like. So what is it? Is it easier for them, or are they still having a tough time?
I would love to say that it's easier, but our population is also changing. We're starting to see seniors come home, people in their 50s, 60s, and 70s, and it's hard because companies are really reluctant to hire seniors, again, and they've done their 20, 30, years, and so it is a little bit different. Housing is a really big issue all over, for not just returning citizens, for everyone. So I would love to say it's getting easier. I will say that I think there are more resources, but it's definitely not getting easier.
What about the development of skills? I was just asking, Kim, about, you have veterans coming out of service and dealing with issues regarding transferable skills. You have returning citizens, and we know that, when they were incarcerated, some of them have developed some skills, some of them not so much. So what say you about trying to get them, getting their feet on the ground regarding skills and finding jobs and the like?
Well, we're starting to have to pivot in our programming. The pandemic taught us all to pivot, to use that word. And so, for example, for many of our returning citizens that went in at 19 and 20 years old, there were no cell phones. Mm. So there wasn't Zoom. So we're having, and now everything, interviews and appointments, are all done by the phone and by Zoom. So we're having to teach those skills. So the soft skills are changing a little. So it's more technology based.
Rosie, we started off the program talking about people who were sitting at the precipice of homelessness or actually experiencing that. And we know the wealth and the affluence of Prince George's County. And some people may say, well, Prince George's County, homeless people, the two don't mesh. Talk to me about how serious that issue is here in Prince George's.
I think you find in the Washington metropolitan area, there is a lot of largesse. And when you think about how this region is portrayed, there is a lot of opportunity. But for those who are on the opposite end of that spectrum, the gap is so great. And when we think about homelessness, traditionally people think homelessness is the veteran with PTSD that's sleeping under the bridge. But that's not who homeless is. The face of homelessness today are children. They're children who are going with their families from place to place, couch surfing, living with family members and extended family members. They may not be on the street, but they're totally destabilized. When you change schools four times a year, how can that child be set up for success? And when you think about where those families are and what they need to do and how their lives are upended ever so often, that it's really not a stabilizing force. So that, for those at risk of homelessness, is huge. But again, also back to that Alice households, there are so many of our friends and neighbors and family members who are literally barely making it because they may not have the opportunity to take advantage of many of those higher earning wages that are out here because they may not have the skill set that allows them to take advantage of it. And one emergency, one challenge sets them back tenfold. And so what we see is the opportunity to be able to meet people wherever they are on the spectrum, no matter what they could be experiencing. We want to be able to offer those resources to them.
We are at the Largo Student Center at Prince George's Community College. This is the 8th annual Project Community Connect in collaboration with United Way, National Capital Area. They've been here all day providing services for people who are in need, maybe one or two or many, many services. And there are going to be other events if you weren't able to make it to this one here at Prince George's Community College, one in D.C. and one in Virginia. And as I said, we are going to talk about that in a bit. Rosie, I do want to drill down just a little bit. You were talking about children. Are you talking about children who are unparented or children with parents? Talk to me about the homeless children.
I think you'll find that, of course, there will be certain circumstances that will have every situation known to man. But what we are seeing are families that are together, that are having this challenge of literally not being able to make ends meet because we happen to live in a high-cost area. When you look across the entire region, Prince George's may be a little bit more affordable, perhaps, on the housing end than some parts of the region, but there are very costly areas here as well. And when you look at the rental income compared to the area median income for us here in the Washington area, that's a pretty high bar for many families to meet if they happen to be working in hourly wage jobs as opposed to, you know, straight salary, not necessarily having the benefits that are available to them. That again, even a health challenge, if you don't have insurance, can truly set a family back. And so you have lots of opportunities to really have a challenge that we need to ensure that we are cognizant of and that we bring solutions to the table. And that's where your United Way tries to do that each and every day.
You know, Kim, I just thought about something that Rosie said. You may have veterans who have, you know, been in the service for, you know, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, and they're coming out, and I can imagine there's a sticker shock for them because everything costs so much more.
And there's a culture shock as well, because when you're in the military, you have a lot of supports. You have housing. You get a housing allowance, or you get base housing. You have medical automatically for you and your entire family. And a lot of people who are leaving the military don't understand how much money they actually need to live.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, there's sticker shock. They think, oh, I'm coming out, I'm going to make $60,000 a year, and then they find that that really doesn't get them very far. Because they don't have all the supports that they're used to. But I find that most of the people that I'm dealing with who are having housing crises, and there are a lot of them, they are veterans who lost their jobs at the beginning of the COVID pandemic lockdown, and they were able to suspend rent and not pay and not get evicted for 2 years. And now the bill is due.
And the rents are higher.
And the rents are higher. So they can't renew their lease for $1,300 a month. It's now $2,300 a month, which they can't pay. Plus, they have to pay all that back rent now. Mm-hmm. So that's a triggering event. Now they've got this giant bill, and they're going to court to be evicted, and that PTSD is coming back. It's flaring up, and now they're frozen, and they can't work, and they can't move forward. Mm-hmm. So it's a huge issue for my population right now.
Carla, talk to me about the culture shock for returning citizens. You know, obviously, you know, Kim was talking about the financial thing, but as you said, there have been, you know, some returning citizens who've been away for a long time.
Right. I think for returning citizens, it's overcoming the power of no.
What do you mean by that?
Because so many times they're told no. No, you can't live here. No, you can't work here. No, you can't have this. So it's really, we work hard to help them know that it's within yourself. That might be, it might be no right now, but it's going to be yes on the next one. And there's so many programs out there that help them learn how to understand and not, because after you've been, I mean, it wears on your self-esteem. After a while, you've been told no so much. You want to potentially maybe go back to where no one did tell you no. Mm-hmm. So we try to prevent that recidivism and help them overcome.
It, you know, Rosie, even as I'm sitting here and looking at all of these resources, hey, wave everybody. We've got a room full of people.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering, is there enough help, even with this fine example of all of these people here that represent all of these organizations, businesses that are trying to put an effort in? Is there enough?
I'd answer that a couple of ways. There are a lot of organizations that have made it their mission to really and truly bring community together. And I think that then there, on the other side of that equation, are our average everyday neighbors, our friends, our family members, who can all care for community. It's not one solution, if you will. So is there enough? I believe that there is when we cobble all of those resources together and come together collectively for the betterment of our community. There is absolutely nothing we cannot attack, that we can't resolve, when we put our resources together, as well as put our genius together, because we believe that in caring for community, we're all able to do something. So even if it's something small, we don't have to be millionaires and benefactors in order to be able to help someone. Sometimes it's just getting someone that dignity that they may have lost along the way, giving them that encouragement, pointing them in the right direction, connecting them to the one thing that they may need for their soul survival or for that of their family. And so collectively, I believe that there is enough. There are enough of us to care, to do this work, but we can't do it alone. And so we simply need others to join us on that journey to ensure that when we look at community, it's something that we all share responsibility for.
When you talk about the working poor, how do you get the word out? I can only imagine that, you know, people who are kind of living, you know, hand to mouth, they're just trying to survive day to day, week to week. And the information is out there, but if they don't know where to get the information, how do you let them know?
I think we look at every resource, and I happen to work with a great group of professionals at Your United Way, and we look at everything, of course, from our website to talking with our partners to even having your listeners here right from WHUR. You've been partners with us over the years for this, and so this is sometimes audiences that we traditionally would not be able to engage for whatever reason. We talk with our school systems that are able to share these resources with the children and the parents, and of course we don't just deal with the child that's before us because they come from somewhere, and we want that family to know that they're just as important as that child who's there with us. So we, of course, the website all of our partners. And you note, for those listeners who we wish could be in the room with us, they can see the plethora of partners who have come to do this work with us. We do absolutely nothing alone. So the more we can cast this message out with all of our partners, including WHUR, the more individuals who can know that these resources exist, and hopefully we can make ourselves easy enough to access so that they can take advantage of these resources as well.
Kim, does good old-fashioned word of mouth work?
Yes, probably better than anything. Making those connections is key. Just getting the word out. I have a number of people in my program. They're veterans. They're also returning citizens. And they spread the word really, really well. Mm-hmm. They come in, they have a good connection with me, they're making progress, they're moving forward, getting a training program, getting supportive services, and they feel good about their opportunities. Some of them have gone to entrepreneurship programs with me as well. And they tell their friends, and their friends tell their friends, and then they all call in and they want to be a part of Employ Prince George's programs.
Mm-hmm. And I can imagine, you know, some of the returning citizens, they come out and they've been successful, they've been able to get on their feet, and they say, hey, call Carla, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Partnership is definitely key. Partnership is, and because none of us can do it alone and by ourselves.
Well, I have a few minutes left, but I did want to make sure, as I said earlier, that everyone have an opportunity to share your information. But even before we do that, Rosie, as I said, there are people who weren't able to come out today, but they are still not going to miss out. You have two more events just like this coming up. Talk to me about that briefly, please.
Sure. Over the years, we've normally had one Project Community Connect, and it's been a very large-scale effort that we would be doing in a huge stadium, if you will, with 80 or so partners that would be offering those services. Because of COVID, we've decided to rebrand, and in this instance, we're doing smaller versions that you see here today. We'll be doing one here, of course, in Prince George's County on Thursday. We're going to be at Kelly Miller Middle School in the District of Columbia from 4:30 to 7:30 p.m. And on Saturday morning, we're going to be in Alexandria at Francis H. Hammond Middle School from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. So no matter where you are in this region, we hope to be able to reach you. And of course, when we are able to give the website, they'll give even more information.
Go right ahead.
All right. Well, you can always go to your United Way's website, which is United Way, NCA for National Capital Area, .org, and they'll be able to get information on Project Community Connect as well as volunteerism as well, because that's the next way that we're able to get the word out.
You're making your staff over there very happy because they're just, you
know. they work hard every day.
Absolutely, and we've been with them for a while. Carla, how can people get in contact with your organization?
They can go to our website also, which is CatholicCharitiesDC, all spelled out, .org, and then click on the Welcome Home Prison Outreach tab.
One more time.
CatholicCharitiesDC.org, and then click on the Prison Outreach Welcome Home tab.
Okay. And Kim, your organization, please.
Employ Prince George's. The website is employpg.org. Keep in mind, we do have 15 programs. And if you are not in Prince George's County, you can go to the American Job Center Finder online and find the American Job Center near you, because every American Job Center has a nonprofit partner that can help you.
Excellent. I want to thank all of you for spending some time with us, Kim, Carl, and of course Rosie. You know, thank you so much. You say these are smaller events. Yeah, you got a lot of folks here today.
And we're excited about every one of them.
Absolutely. So, you know, thank you all so much. You're doing great work in the community, and I hope that you continue to, you know, improve the lives of your constituency. We want to let our listeners know, as always, that we are going to take a brief break. We have more to come when we are talking about this incredible event here at Prince George's Community College, the annual Project Community Connect with United Way National Capital Area. So stay with us. Of course, the Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM channel 141.